teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. This is talking about spiritual children. That's you and I. Somebody said, where are you from? God. What's your lineage? God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. If you look at the context, verses 1 through 3, it's the evil spirits. And so you have overcome them because, amen, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, I'd like to camp there a while. I get thrilled on that one. You know, things come against you from people and the world system and all kinds of things, but the greater one lives inside of you. I always think, maybe it dates me, but anybody play Pac-Man growing up? You know, well, actually let's go back to math. You know, you got the greater sign and the lesser sign, you know. Whenever I saw Pac-Man, I instantly thought of the greater sign. And Pac-Man just chomp, 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 chomp. Man, I spent a lot of quarters on Pac-Man. Should have gone and bought the game, you know, and brought it home. I'd have saved some money. But Pac-Man is the greater sign, and greater just can chew up lesser. Hallelujah. And so, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Say that about three times about you personally. Just you personally. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Think about what's coming against you when you say that. And let's say it again. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say it one more time. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Wow. Greater. By the end of this service, you're going to have a greater revelation of greater. Greater revelation of greater. Hallelujah. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, of course. But when the Holy Spirit came in you, he brought a lot of things with him. And everything he brought with him is greater than the enemy's best weapon against it. And, there's just a lot of things that means when you start thinking about it. We won't turn there, but 2 Corinthians 10:4 talks about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but they are mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what you have is greater, what you have is more mighty than anything the enemy throws at you. And really, you can conquer every single thing that the enemy brings against you. Go over to the book of 2 Corinthians and... Because 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, you'll find what this means. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Say again, greater.
Greater.
I just like that word, don't you?
Yeah.
Greater, greater, greater. Greater. That makes the enemy that comes against you lesser. That means he's smaller. That means he's not as great as the one living on the inside of you. That means he cannot overcome you. And it also means what this verse says, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Thanks be unto God, which sometimes, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In other words, we just have the fragrance of victory about us everywhere we go. The word savor there means fragrance or taste or something like that. And it just means everywhere we go,
everywhere.
When we walk into the room, people smell victory. Yeah, whenever you're invited to the hospital room, somebody that can sense the Spirit, they smell victory.
That's right. Amen.
They smell healing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's just what we carry around. That's our smell. That's our taste. That's what we carry around with us everywhere we go. So he said he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge, this knowledge of this victory, everywhere we go. Everywhere I go, I smell victory.
Amen.
The devil pops his ugly head up. I go, I smell victory. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than that stinker that's in the world. I don't smell the stinker. I smell victory. That's what I smell. Amen. Because I'm tuned to victory. Because the greater one has never left me. Amen. So the fact that the greater one lives in you means that, of course, the Holy Spirit is greater than the enemy, the power of Satan. But it also means that everything that the Holy Spirit brought into you, that brought with him when he came into you, that everything that God gave you, to live in victory is inherently greater than the forces of the enemy that he throws against you to defeat you. Amen. His weapons against you living in victory are smaller than the weapons God gave you to live in victory. They're less powerful. They're not as intelligent. They're not wise. Amen. The wisdom of God is greater than the stupidity of the enemy. Amen. And so there are spiritual, when the Holy Spirit came into you, he brought spiritual forces into you. Proverbs 4 talks about it. It doesn't come clear in the King James, but you know what it says, my son, attend to my word, so forth and so on. And we know that passage, but we don't often go to the next verse. Life unto those who find a medicine to all the flesh. But verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. Say issues of life. The issues of life in the Hebrew means forces. The forces. Out of your spirit, there is coming spiritual forces. That, what are those spiritual forces to do? To give you victory. And I'm going to describe some of those tonight and give you understanding of what we're talking about. And so whenever you understand this, the forces of the Spirit, such as the force of faith, the force of love, all those things are greater than, like, if something is thrown against your faith, faith will conquer it. The faith of God, I'm talking about the faith of God, it will conquer it. When offense is thrown at you, love is greater than offense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible talks about the faith of God in the chapter number, we won't go there, but chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about faith. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness made people strong. Caused them to wax valiant in flight and fight and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Faith did all that. The force of faith in your spirit coming out of your mouth will do some amazing things. It'll turn impossibilities into possibilities.
Amen.
It'll turn defeat into victory.
Amen.
Yeah, it'll move mountains. It'll stop things, start things, turn things, cause them to go different directions. That's a spiritual force. And it's greater than the enemy's best weapon against it. It'll conquer the force of the enemy every single time. Hallelujah. Think about a couple. I'm going to go through a couple of things to think about. The sword of the Spirit, it's greater than the suggestions of the enemy against your mind. When the enemy's blah, 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 harassing, blabbing, in your ear telling you suggestions of what he's going to do, you know, how he's going to, you know, maybe he's saying something like you're going to die or you're going to die prematurely or something, you know. I'm going to kill you. Or he's trying to get you to believe you're not going to make it financially or you're going under or you're going to lose your mind or whatever. Those attacks of the enemy are a spiritual attack. Those bombarding thoughts.
Yeah.
The sword of the Spirit is what the Word of God, the Bible says, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's greater than that attack coming against you.
Yeah.
Sometimes that attack can seem intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you need to get out the weapon that God designed specifically to deal with that force of the enemy coming against you. Don't get out prayer. That's not the weapon God designed and gave to you in the new birth, specifically designed to cast down thoughts. See, each thing God gave you is greater than the enemy's opposition against it. But if you use the wrong weapon that's not designed for what God, to overcome what Satan's bringing against you.
Yes, sir.
God gave you weapons, but they're each designed for a unique thing.
Yes, sir.
Like, for example, when the enemy is running rampant in somebody's life, the weapon they use against it is not just loving Jesus more.
Come on. Yeah.
Shouldn't we love Jesus more? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to get out the weapon of the authority of the believer.
That's so good.
Amen. So, don't just sit around and pray that God would do something about the harassment of your mind. Get out the correct weapon. Get out the answering the word of God with this. Answering Satan with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
You got to answer thoughts with thought. I mean, with words, not just thoughts.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Think about love, for example. Love is greater than hate. The Bible calls love in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 31 there. It calls love the more excellent way. That means it's more superior. If you were to study it out, it means it gives you the higher ground.
Amen. That's good.
In other words, it's greater.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. People want to fight? Here's how you win a good fight.
Come on.
You outlove them.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, they want a tit for tat. You won't return it. Remember what it said. Go to Romans chapter 12. I'm not going to look at all these verses. Just a couple of them we're going to think about a little bit before we move on. But Romans chapter number 12. Look what it says here in we'll start in verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If as much as possible lies within you, live peaceably with all men. He's talking about not fighting, you know. Then jump down to verse number 20. If thine enemy hunger, notice who he's talking about, your enemy. If your enemy hunger, feed him. In other words, he's your enemy, and most people respond to their enemy as an enemy. But he said, you respond in love. You respond by giving him something, blessing him. Isn't that right? That's you fighting. Amen. Then he says this in verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Why? Because doing good in return for somebody doing evil is how you win.
That's right. That's good.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
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 I'm preaching the word to you tonight. That's one you need to understand. The best way to win any good fight is to walk in love. You remember James said in the third chapter, you can just write this down, you don't have to turn there, but in James, the third chapter, the Bible calls, really, if you kind of analyze it, it calls the love walk the wisdom of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. He talks about, in verse 14 through 18, he talks about not having bitter envying or strife in our hearts. Then he said, this wisdom descends not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. He's talking about just fussing. That's not wise. Then he said, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. For the wisdom that is above, from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, so forth and so on. So he calls walking in love wisdom there. Rather than returning good for evil, he says, returning evil for evil, return good for evil. He said, that's smart. That's smart. Why? Because that is a greater weapon than getting even.
Come on, that's really good.
than talking critically about them because they talked about you.
That's good.
It's you've been there. It's it two can't fuss if one won't fuss. Amen. It's hard to keep fussing with somebody that just says, I'm just going to keep on loving you.
Yeah, that's true.
It sure does. Maybe we ought to camp on that one for a while. But how about light is greater than darkness? Remember Jesus said in John 1, verse 4 through 5, the light shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not? Or John the Baptist said about Jesus? Hallelujah. It can't. Darkness cannot overcome light. You need to believe that.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about overcoming. How about the force of unity? It's greater than the force of division and strife. That's the spirit that's out there in the world right now, especially in our nation. They want us all to get divided. We're not going to be divided. We're staying united.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep, come on.
The force of unity is greater than the force of strife and division. How about the forgiveness? Forgiveness is greater than unforgiveness. It's greater than offense. It just ends all the trouble. People work years trying to, you know, restore relationships, but won't forgive, and they can't accomplish it because they're using a lesser weapon. Once they truly from their heart forgive, all of a sudden everything's restored. Two people, once they forgive, everything's restored. The force of faith is greater than the force of opposition that's coming against you. It's greater than the test and the trial. Hallelujah. And it's greater than fear, too. How about the force of joy? We're going to spend some time on this one tonight. But it's greater than the force of depression that the test and trials offer you. You ever notice tests and trials are offering you something? Every morning you wake up, the test and trial hits you in the face, and it's offering a big platter of depression. Heaviness. Amen. The force of joy can overcome that. People talk about a dark cloud. They talk about a heaviness. They talk about oppression or depression. There is a force that is greater than all of that. It's called joy. We're going to spend some time on that one tonight. But how about the force of patience, which is endurance? It's greater than the enemy's hindrance and delays. He keeps trying to hinder. He keeps trying to influence people not to respond to the Spirit and help.
Come on, sir.
But if you'll just stick in there and won't quit and keep standing on the Word of God, that's the greater force than the enemy trying to keep it from coming to pass. Ha, ha, ha. God's given us the answer for everything. How about peace? That's greater than a troubled heart or anxiety or worry. Hallelujah. It's so great, the Bible says it passes all understanding. There are times it's just like I'm in a bubble. Stuff's going on around me. The enemy's out here trying to yak, 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 but it's just like a distant voice. It's like I'm in this bubble. I'm just in the peace of God. And I'm sustained through tests and trials because it's greater. Tell your neighbor it's greater. Of course, the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. Victory is greater than defeat. Hallelujah. The force of temperance is greater than the lust of your flesh. Bible said the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is temperance. That means self-control if you look it up. That is much greater than your flesh's desire to flesh out.
Come on.
Amen. And it'll overcome. It'll cause you to be in control whenever your flesh is just trying to go squirreling. We can spend a lot of time on that one. But how about this? The blood of Jesus is greater than your sin. Man. I said it's greater than your sin. Hallelujah. Like when the devil brings any of these things to you, for example, he thinks, you know, I got him now. You know, he brings worry or he brings fear or he brings temptation to sin or you know, any of these things we've just mentioned. Strife, amen, bombarding thoughts against your mind. He, in his mind, he says, I got you now, I got you now. Amen. Like whenever we sin, he thinks, I got him, I got him. I got him in condemnation. I got him in separation from God. I got him in their faith not working. I got him, I got him. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, he tells you, I got you. I got you. You'll never be back in where you were. You'll never be blessed like you were. Now you're defeated. God doesn't love you. I got you. Isn't that right? But when we apply the blood of Jesus, it's like you throwing down a game. In a game, it's like you throwing down a card that trumps all cards. And he just has to go, walk away. He thought he had you, but you threw down something greater. Now I'm in church tonight. Yeah, you threw down something greater than his card. He threw the best hand he had, and he thought he had you, but God gave you something to trump it all. In every area, there's something to trump it all. How about the power to get wealth that's in you is greater than the power of the curse in the world to take it away from you? I don't know why some of you aren't running around the church right now. Greater! Somebody says, yeah, but the curse, yeah, but unforgiveness, yeah, but... Well, whenever you know you have the greater,
yes, sir.
It doesn't really matter what the world... It doesn't really matter. Isn't that right? You just got to get focused on the right things. Hallelujah. The healing word and the healing anointing is greater than sickness. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that one. The blood of Jesus is greater than your sin. You know, if you continue to walk around in condemnation, you don't know the power and the force and the triumph of the blood of Jesus. The triumph, the power, and the triumphant ability of the blood to make you overcome what you were once under and bound by. That's the power of the blood. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So God's telling us that he's given us the trump card to beat the devil at every one of his games that he plays. Amen. Have you ever played the game of spades? You know, somebody can lay down the king of hearts, king of clubs, diamonds. But even the lowest spades, you know, the lowest spade card will trump all of that. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
That's what God's given you a handful of. He's given you a handful of spades. When he gave you the sword of the Spirit, that's a spade. When he gave you the love, that's a spade. That trumps hate. When he gave you unity and keeps us in unity, that trumps division. When he gives you joy, that trumps depression. Victory, that trumps defeat. The blood, that trumps our sin. We got a fistful of spades. Glory to God. In a game, you know, a card game of some kind, a playing card is, a trump is a playing card that, you know, maybe a suite of cards that ranks above other cards. And it'll beat anybody. It's the highest ranking cards, right? It's an alternate word for triumph. I looked it up. It means, it's an ultimate word for triumph, and it means to have supremacy or the upper hand. So God's given you the upper hand. When he shed the love of God abroad in your heart, he gave you the upper hand whenever strife is trying to get in.
Yeah, that's good.
You following me?
Yes, sir.
And all these things that he gave us, the power to get wealth, he gave you the upper hand over the curse. Somebody said, yeah, but it's so hard to get ahead. Well, use your spade. Throw your spade down. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So when you face these, go over to James chapter number 1. I want you to see something here. When you face these things, the enemy comes in a lot of different ways. Look at James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Notice that term, diverse temptations. Why are you counting it joy? Because you know this. that the trying of your faith work as patience, but let patience have its perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. So notice the term. There's a lot in that passage, and we'll get to some of it, but notice that term, diverse temptations. Diverse, that means different kinds, or various in nature, different kinds of trials and tests, or with different nature. Like whenever you have a love test, that's different than a sickness test. You know, or a strife test, I could say, where Satan's trying to rob you of a good relationship. That's a different kind of test than an attack against your body. There's all different kinds of attacks of the enemy. He comes to attack to divide us. He comes to attack our minds to get us in torment. He comes to attack us with depression. All these things we already just mentioned, he comes in diverse different ways. You understand that? So when we face these diverse temptations, we must learn to yield to the force that God gave us to overcome it. If we're going to have success every time, always causing us to triumph. Yeah, we got to learn to walk in all of these things. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in unity, walk in forgiveness, walk in faith, walk in joy, walk in patience. Amen. Walk in peace, walk in victory, walk in the blood, walk in the power to get wealth, use the sword of the Spirit. Those are all weapons. We've got to get good at all of those. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've done preached myself happy. So there are diverse temptations, which means different kinds. They vary in different ways he comes. How many of you know he might, you know, try to get in one way and you block him, so he'll come some other way. You just got to know how he works. And so each kind of test of trial requires you to throw down a different trump card. Using the game analogy. Amen. Not talking about any human. I'm talking about a game. Amen. Given you by God to overcome the enemy's attacks. So you got to learn to be skillful in the Spirit with each one of these. And the Holy Spirit will teach you how each one of these things works. Amen. First of all, the enemy needs to encounter something other than just your human ability whenever he comes against you. Second of all, he needs to encounter the specific force that God designed to overcome the particular kind of test Satan's bringing. So we're not trying to oppose him in human effort. Second of all, we're not using the wrong force or the wrong card in the wrong game he's playing. You understand? And third of all, we've got to become skilled with each one of these. Isn't that right? So because each weapon God's given us is designed specifically to work uniquely against a specific kind of attack of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. So when people pull out the wrong card against the enemy, they're going to fail. It wasn't because the weapon or the card that they're using isn't perfect. It was designed perfectly. But it's because of user error. Because of using the wrong card. You understand what I mean by cards? I'm using the game analogy. You know, just like people that the enemy's bombarding their thoughts and they're just going to God requesting him to do something about it. Wrong card.
Wrong card. There you go.
Satan's going to keep trumping you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Come on. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You got to get out the sword of the Spirit card and speak the Word of God and replace those thoughts with the thoughts of the Word whenever you speak them. Jesus showed us that in Luke 4. When the enemy came to him, he was tempted. You remember in Luke 4? And Jesus said, "It is written," every single time. And he overcame him. Amen. So we use the right weapon for each encounter of the enemy. But I want to focus on one particular thing. It's in here in James chapter number 1. He said, "My brethren," verse number 2, "count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Count it all joy. So he's telling us the card to throw whenever different temptations come.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Amen. In tests and trials, joy is your trump card. When he throws his best against you, you can trump him. Yeah. How do you trump him? Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. This verse is telling you how to respond. Most people don't respond that way. They respond, whoa, here it comes again. I whatever. No, that's he's got you. Isn't that right? So he has a game he's playing when he brings these things against you. But God's giving you the winning hand. In the new birth, God gave you the winning hand for everything Satan will throw at you. You got it at the new birth. Amen. Spiritual forces that God gave you in the new birth are all designed to cause you to win at everything. Whatever he throws at you, you can trump him. Amen. Joy is not just a natural emotion. It's a spiritual force. And you and I need to start releasing it whenever he comes, because whenever we do, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's not the response he's used to. He's used to throwing down his hand and people go, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. He's not used to somebody going,
come on.
Amen. He's not used to that. That's a different response. Because people of faith, they have the trump card. You understand what I'm talking about? And so they can rejoice. Hallelujah. You don't throw the card of worry and fear and doubt and oppression and heaviness. Amen. That won't win any games. This game that he's playing. Amen. You're not rejoicing because of the difficulty. We're not weird. But we're rejoicing because of what we know. What do we know? We know the greater one's in us. Hallelujah. I said we know the greater one's in us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And the greater one, we know that everything that he has given us is greater than what the enemy throws against us. Glory. Praise God. We also know that joy will put us over because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Whenever he tries to sap you with tests and trials, gets you worn out and weak, oh, that strength starts rising up on them. We know it. We know it. And we just trumped him. But you got to draw on joy. God's not going to pull it out of you. You have to draw it up. It doesn't start flowing because, you know, an emotion starts flowing. That the emotions are the result of acting on the joy. Remember, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers. So you have to start expressing joy and rejoicing. Ha, ha, ha. He throws his best card. Ha, 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 ha. You can't see my hand. Ha, 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 ha. You got to stir it up. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's in you. What is it about those Christians? They're always rejoicing. They're always praising the Lord. They're always saying hallelujah. Don't they know how bad it is in the world? We're not focused on the devil's hand. We're focused on our hand. Amen. Hallelujah. So here in James 1:2, the force of joy really is the force of faith. Because he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, the trying of your what?
Faith.
Faith. See, joy is an expression of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What do we know? We know that the trump card of joy is greater than the force of the test and trial that comes against us. Amen. And whenever we throw the joy card, we know that we've chosen the right card for this particular game he's playing. He's playing a game trying to get you depressed. And you go, ha, 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 ha. It ain't gonna work. It ain't going to work. Amen. Amen. And we also know as soon as we play this card, his game is over. His game is over. Hallelujah. It'll end his game. You also know that this is your victory. Because this is greater. This is the trump card. You held it until he played his card, and then you trumped it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So these greater forces that God's given you are your trump cards. Amen. In every encounter, throw the right card. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't have a greater card. Doesn't have a greater card. No, nothing he has is greater than your hand. Amen. I said he doesn't have a greater card. In every encounter, throw that right card. He's got nothing in his repertoire to overcome it. No greater card in his hand to throw down and beat you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, think about Romans 12:3. Think about Romans 12:3 just in your mind. You know it. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When did that come? At the new birth. So at the new birth, God started going. He's dealing. He's the dealer. He's the faith dealer, the victory dealer, the joy dealer. And the day you got born again, listen, the day you got born again, God didn't just go. No, he went. Stay here for a minute. Pop, 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 pop. Ace of spades, ace of spades, ace of spades, ace of spades. The problem with a lot of Christians is they don't know that God dealt them anything.
Yeah. Come on.
So they got the cards, but they're not using them.
Right.
The devil goes, here's some depression. They go, all they got to do is look at their hand. Hallelujah. Do you know that when you know you're holding the winning card, the winning hand, that you're not depressed at all his bluffing? Isn't that right? So when God dealt this hand to you, he said, here's all of your you know, ace of spades, ace of spades, ace of spades. Or whatever the highest, is that the highest card? I think so. And whenever he does that, he's basically saying, always triumph, always triumph, always triumph, always triumph, always triumph. That's what he's saying. You can always win. Whatever game he's playing, you can always win. And he plays games, doesn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. But anything that God gave you, when you put it down, the game's over. Hallelujah. And guess what? You can just put the card down, gather up his chips, go back over to the cashier and check out your victory. Glory. And leaving him sitting there going, what happened? What just happened? I tell you what happened. I just trumped you. That's what happened. I just played the hand God gave me. Amen. Glory to God. So when you know you're holding the winning hand because you hold the highest ranking card in the entire deck, you don't break a sweat when the enemy sits across the table bluffing at you. You know, poker players, they bluff. Isn't that right? Satan will sit there bluffing. Just like James 1:2 here says, you can count everything he throws at you as all joy because you know something. He throws something down, you go, you know something. Don't you? Isn't that right? You know that nothing he has is greater than what you have. And you know the end of the game and how it's going to turn out. Plus, you know his hand. You know what Jesus dealt him. The lowest cards in the deck every single time. This game is rigged. Isn't that right? See, you know he's been defeated. You know Jesus conquered him. God made you the victor over him. Isn't that right? But just because Satan has been defeated doesn't mean he's no longer going to play the game. He'll sit there and he'll deal you things. And he'll try to get you to take them. And he'll bluff. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan's trying to deceive you through the seen realm. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to your mind. He'll seek to lie you through circumstances and the seen realm, because he's the god of this world. He tries to manipulate circumstances to get you to accept his bluff and say, no, you don't have the winning hand. See this, see this. And he's just bluffing. Isn't that right? And so he's trying to deceive you. And by doing so, he's trying to hold you in the arena of sight so he can defeat you. But you hold him in the arena of faith. You hold him in the arena of what you know you have. So when Satan shows you the seen realm, it's just a bluff. He's trying to mislead you. Amen? He's bluffing with a show of strength, a false image, a display of strength and self-confidence in order to get you shaken. You know, like poker face. You know, they call it a poker face. You can have the worst hand in the game and you don't let anybody know it. Isn't that right? Because you want them to throw their wrong card at the wrong, you know. Amen? And so he'll sit there that way. He's trying to get your attention. He wants to mislead you by presenting a bold and self-confident front. But when somebody's putting on a bluff, they're putting on an act and they're pretending. You as a believer with a renewed mind, through the Word of God, you know the hand he's holding. Amen. You know that he holds the losing hand because Jesus defeated him. And you also are not ignorant of his devices. You know when he's bluffing, which is always. Amen. You're not ignorant of it. So like in a game of poker, when somebody's bluffing, they're trying to deceive their opponent by a show of strength or confidence, even though they hold the advantage. Satan's trying to get people to not believe it. So as a believer, you know you've been dealt the winning hand, and it overcomes everything he throws at you. You're equipped with that knowledge through the Word of God. This Word told you what God dealt you. It also told you what Satan's holding in his hand. You know, that's a big deal. If you know the opponent's hand, you know that's a big deal. Isn't that right? So you need to not only know about his bluff, but you need to call his bluff. You need to dispose his deception. And when you do, his bluff will fold like a house of cards. It'll just fall apart. Amen. He lies through lying vanities. He lies through what you see. He tries to tell you all kinds of things about your hand. He says it's not good enough. And he'll throw fear and doubt at you. He'll magnify circumstances. And he'll talk, he'll bluff against the Word, saying that's not going to work for you. And he'll do all kinds of stuff. Amen? And he'll say, the hand you're trusting, it's not enough to change your situation. What's the hand you're trusting according to James 1? It's counting it all joy. The devil will say, that's not going to do you any good. Ha, 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 whenever this big bad, see this big bad circumstance I brought into your life? What's ha, ha, ha going to do? That's not big enough. You know what I'm talking about? He's trying to diminish your hand. When you already know from the Word it's a greater hand than anything that Satan's going to throw against it. Isn't that right? But he'll say, you're trusting something that's not good enough. My stuff's bigger than yours. And you have to say, no, you're lying against the Word of God. You're lying. The Bible says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So my hand's greater. Hallelujah. Amen. And this will change my circumstances. Ha, 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 ha. And you just keep it up. Amen. So that's why James told us this, count it all joy, because he knows it's the greater hand. So, but the whole time he's telling you this, he knows he has the losing hand. You understand? He's just trying to get you distracted from throwing the trump card. That he knows will defeat him. He knows it the whole time. But he's bluffing. Amen. He just wants you to give in to his bluff. He wants you to believe that your hand is not enough. Amen. But so he'll just run his mouth, try to deceive, and try to, get people to believe what he's saying. And so, you just have to keep on holding your card. You just keep on throwing your card. Ha, ha. What is it now? Joy? Joy? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Knowing this. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you don't know his game, you'll wait until he stops bluffing to believe you've won. Before you shout. Before you say, I got a testimony. If you don't know his game, you'll wait till he shuts up and stops bluffing before you start believing you've already won the victory. Isn't that right? But if you do that, you forgot that the devil is only a liar. And he's not going to leave you alone. Amen. I said he's not going to leave you alone. The devil leaving you alone doesn't equal victory. Isn't that right? You knowing that you hold the trump card and you play in that hand at every encounter with the enemy is what equals your victory. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I got to rejoice to get the victory. No. You already have the victory. See, look at it. Ha, ha, ha.
Amen.
This is my trump. This is my victory.
Amen.
This is how I beat him at his game. He's playing a game, and this is how I beat him. Ha, ha, ha. Victory is just believing the hand you've been dealt means you've already won. Do you really know whenever you get your hand, that's when you've really already won? Especially if you know how to play the game. Isn't that right? It's believing the devil is a liar and is defeated in the face of his bluff while he's running his mouth. Hallelujah. You getting this tonight?
Yes, sir.
But just because he's defeated doesn't mean he's inactive and doesn't bluff and try to play games with you and stuff like that. Amen. He's still approaching and running his mouth. But you just need to know the word, which reveals his bluff. And you just need to keep throwing down the trump card. Then just walk off. Walk over to the cashier's counter and check out your victory. Cash your chips in. Hallelujah. So you'll not be bothered by the way the devil's playing the game if you believe you're holding the winning card. You'll not sit there sweating and, it just won't bother you. Isn't that right? You'll know you're not only victorious whenever you throw the card, you've already won the victory. Hallelujah, just as soon as God dealt you the hand. Hallelujah. So don't you wait on the enemy to stop bluffing voluntarily because he won't. You force him to shut up by throwing down the winning card. Amen. Before you throw that winning card down before he stops bluffing. Amen. The moment you do, it'll shut him up instantly. Isn't that right? Somebody can think they're winning until, there you go, you throw down it, and then they get, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
And that's what you do.
Yeah.
Whenever he comes against you with tests and trials, you go, ha, 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 ha. It's over.
Yeah, it's over. Come on.
You hold fast to that and don't waver from it. It's over.
That's real good. Amen.
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 Bring his game to an end. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave you alone. You've got to shut him up. Amen, amen. He knows he's a liar. He knows he's defeated. The whole time he's running his mouth, he's just still talking because you haven't thrown down the winning card yet. Isn't that right? And as long as you're playing the game, the other teams, the opposing team or, whichever game you're playing, if it's a team or an individual, they'll just keep on bluffing and running their mouth until you put the card down.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Then it's over. Isn't that right? And so if he's still talking, it's because you haven't thrown down the winning card yet. What's the winning card? Count it all joy. Ha, 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 ha. It shuts him up. It shuts him up. That yakety yak yak, it shuts it up. Stop sitting around listening to his bluff and his yakety yak yak. Throw it and shut him up. Ha, 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 ha. Some of you need to go home the whole way home. Ha, 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 ha. Victory's not what happens whenever he shuts his mouth. Victory's what happens whenever you know something and you throw the card. Hallelujah. 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 See, victory's not what you get whenever the bills are finally paid. Or whenever the symptoms are finally gone or the doctor finally gives you the good report. That's not when you got your victory. You got your victory whenever you knew the cards you were dealt. And you went, ha, ha, ha. That's when you got your victory. Some people are like, I'll be okay whenever all my bills are paid. No, whenever you know the right thing, everything's okay with me now. See, look, see, ha, 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 ha. It's okay with me already. Amen. You already are more than a conqueror. Jesus already defeated the enemy. You just have to express it through joy and laughter and releasing faith through these kinds of expressions. Hallelujah. The better you are at expressing joy and faith and victory in the presence of Satan's bluff, the quicker this game's going to be over and the quicker he'll shut up. Some of you just been listening to him talking. You need to bring this game to an end. Play your cards. Play your cards. Play what you've been dealt. Play what you've been dealt. You've been dealt the measure of faith. Lay your card down. Hallelujah. The devil has always been misjudging what's going to happen whenever people play the right card. You know what I'm talking about? He's used to them giving in to his bluff. He's used to people shaking in their boots because of what he bluffs and says, you know. But whenever you have a spirit of faith, you go, ha, ha, ha. You know what you've been dealt, and you start laying it down. It's going to shut him up. Amen. At every one of his games, he's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, he's used to most people responding in the natural. But you're responding out of what God dealt you in the spirit. And that's the way you win. Amen. Don't let him talk. Don't let thoughts of anxiety run. You answer them. Isn't that right? Don't let strife. Don't let, division into your home and thing. You throw down the right card. Spirit of Faith Family Church is a place that Satan is constantly getting trumped. Amen. Let's make this a place that when he approaches us, he's as nervous as a long-tailed tomcat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Come on.
I don't know if you got that or not.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, when a cat's got a tail and there's rocking chairs around, they can get rocked on their tail. Somebody can rock over their tail. You know. So when the devil comes around Spirit of Faith Family Church, let's keep him real nervous. Because he's trying to play his hand and then he keeps getting trumped. And thumped. You know, boom, you thumped on the head. Hallelujah. Strife keeps trying to get into your home, keeps trying to get into home. You keep throwing the love card down. You keep throwing the love card down. You keep throwing the love card down. And he's going, ouch, ouch, ouch. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It confuses the enemy whenever he comes around bluffing or trying to get in and trying to get you to be defeated. Whenever he throws down something looks like a good hand, that your demeanor doesn't change. You don't go, Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
There's still this rest about your demeanor, this peace. Amen. There's not anxiety. There's a little defiant smile that comes on the corners of your mouth. It's like, And he really starts realizing, I'm in trouble.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Go over to Philippians 1:28. We'll wrap this up. Philippians 1:28. Hallelujah. What's always worked on everybody else shouldn't be working on you and me anymore. Amen? Because we know what we've been dealt. And we're learning how to play. We're learning how to trump him. Amen. So notice here in Philippians 1:28, it says, "In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." The Amplified, I thought I had it written here. It says something about, who's got the Amplified? Do not, where we got here? What verse is it? In the Amplified? "Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries." That's talking about Satan. Playing games with you. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof, and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from you." See, when you don't get afraid, when you don't get depressed, whenever he throws his best card, and you get this little defiant smile in the corner of your mouth, like... He's like, uh-oh. Because he knows that's the best he had. And he also knows greater is he that's in you. And now he knows you know what he already knew, although he was bluffing. And you're about to trump him. And so it's a sign of his doom. I said it's a sign of his doom. Send him a message every morning you get up. Light up a neon sign every morning you get up. Doomed, doomed, doomed. He brings strife, you respond in love. He brings sin, you respond with the blood. Yeah. Hallelujah. He ought to wake up to a zzz, zzz, zzz every morning. All over the Spirit of Faith Family Church. Zzz, zzz, zzz. And so he approaches real cautiously, you know. And he tries something and he goes, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show them your victory. Show them your hand. Show them your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you just throw the cards down, swing your chair around, gather up all his chips, and you form a pouch and carry them over to the cashier, and you check your chips in. And you walk out with victory. How often can you do it? Always triumph. Always, always. Stand to your feet. Always.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.